You're listening to the KB Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Cindy Stewart Podcast, a source for encouragement as you learn to discover God's dream for your life. With a passion to help you on your journey, here is your host, Cindy Stewart.
So I want to talk about hearing and seeing, and I feel like we've just kind of poured into that already this morning. You know, we've had the hearing and seeing word today, but God has really been pressing me to not only hear, but to see what I'm hearing. And, you know, it takes some discipline. You know, it takes some practice. We're going to talk about practicing hearing and seeing, and then we're going to practice hearing and seeing. So everybody get ready to practice. We're going to use our ability that God has given us to do what he's called us to do. I've been thinking a little bit about inheritance, and I don't know why I started thinking about it. I even forget what brought it up, but I started doing this whole mass study this past week on inheritance. And, you know, when I think of inheritance, when we think of inheritance, we think about the inheritance from a family member, a parent. You know, we inherited our parents' house. I know when my mom passed away, she didn't really have anything, but she had this beautiful little sapphire cross, and that was my inheritance. And I just loved it, and I gave it to my daughter to wear when she got married. It was just such a sweet thing. But we think of those type of things when we think about inheritance. But when the Word talks about inheritance, it's different. It does include possessions. You know, you read all through the scriptures. It does talk about inheriting the territory, taking it over, fighting for it. It talks about the birthright, you know, that the children get the birthright. But it also talks about a spiritual side of inheritance that we've received, that we practice and activate now until we get the eternal inheritance that's in the Word. So I'll read those couple of scriptures, but I want to start with just kind of a foundational thought, and it's out of Genesis 2:7. We're just going to read a couple of scriptures out of Genesis 2:7. Whew, I am shaking. I feel like I'm trying to see and think and talk and hear the Holy Spirit. I'm just like, I'm a little undone, Lord, so you got to work this out for us, right? He's like, I already have, so yeah. But remember what I just read. Before you say it, I've already done it, so I'm already working on it. So 2:7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So think about this. We're going to read a couple more scriptures, but God prepared a full inheritance for us in the beginning of time. So man was breathed into by the breath of God. We just sang that song, breathe into us, Lord. Man was breathed into, woman was created. So we had a male and a female, and then everything they needed. Verse 15, it says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend to and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, of every tree of the garden you shall eat freely, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man shall be alone. So he creates woman. He creates Eve, right? Then he goes on to give them their purpose and their destiny. Right in this whole creation moment, they received the full inheritance that God had for them. They received, man and woman became one, right? They received their purpose that they were to, verse 21 says that, and the Lord, that isn't where I want to go. Hang on. Verse 19, it says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called them, then that's what they were. And then he gave them the earth to plow. He gave them everything that they needed to multiply, to produce. So the full inheritance of God was given at creation. But with that came choice. And the free ability for them to choose made their hearts give up what God gave them in order to get something that was not intended for them. So throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, they sinned, they're put out of the garden. So the fullness that God gave them was no longer available to them because of sin, because of the choices that they made. Sorry, I can't get this over today. So throughout Scripture, Adam, Noah, he gets the ark. Adam, he gets the word to go and take the land. Moses, he's restoring the people of God back to him. The whole process is trying to get back what God had intended. And then Jesus brought the full reconciliation to what was lost so that every person could choose salvation, could choose the inheritance of God through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, in order for them to live out what God had called them to do on this earth. We can all agree on that? If not, we can talk at lunch. We can talk about it. But really, when you think about this, Jesus restored what was stolen, but we have to do what we're called to do by the word of God that Jesus paid for, right? It really is just kind of a quick picture. If you think about the prodigal son out of Luke 15, he got his full inheritance and then he lost it all. And then when he came back and said, "Father, I have sinned," the Father opens up his arms and restored him to the fullness. And that's where we are. God has restored us to the fullness of the inheritance that we have right now, which is a spiritual inheritance through Christ that requires a physical inheritance for us to do what God has called us to do. Does that make sense? I want to read Ephesians 1 and verse 11. We'll start there because we're going to go somewhere today. See, I'm going today. I'm either going willingly or I'm going being drug. We went to a little birthday party yesterday, and the first time we took our granddaughter, she's 3. And she's almost 4, but I think I'm a little echoey, Karen. Kevin might want to fix that a little bit. But anyhow, so she was great being there, had a great time, wonderful, wonderful. When it was time to leave, there was negotiations. She did not want to leave. She got a little teary. They're saying, "Oh, thank you so much for coming." She's like, sad sack. And so finally we had to coerce her back into the car seat so we could actually go home. In a big way, there are times where God is trying to coerce us to actually do what we're supposed to do, to get in the car seat and go with him because he's driving us to a location that we need to be. And we're not 3. We're going to give her some grace. She's 3. But I'm telling you guys, this is so good. Okay, Ephesians 1 verse 11. I believe we read this last week, and I think that's what stirred me to begin this whole process. It says, "In him we have also obtained an inheritance," right? "Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after we heard the word," right? We trusted Jesus after we heard the word. And who is the word? Jesus is the word. the gospel of your salvation, in whom you have also believed, you were sealed with the promise, the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So we are talking about in present time, because we'll talk about the future inheritance in just a second. But in our present condition, we were purchased by Christ. We have received an inheritance from him for this time and the place that we're in through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, until the eternal inheritance is complete. Do we agree? So I'm just going to read the internal inheritance, and then we're going to go where I want to go this morning. It's 1 Peter 1. So then that way we can see that we have an inheritance that we're living out of now, and then we have an internal inheritance that is still to come. 1 Peter. Okay, 1 Peter, and we'll start in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God of our Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes through, though it is attested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we have received an inheritance through our salvation, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we will receive the fullness, an eternal inheritance at that time of final consummation. So the thing I want to talk about today is about hearing and seeing. Because understand, we walk in an ability to do things that no one else on this earth can do unless they are born again believers. No magician, no witch, no one. No one can do it except born again believers. Because we have the power of the resurrection in us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And God has been teaching me that when I declare the word, that I need to start seeing what that word is that I am declaring, so that word can manifest from our mouth to our vision to the reality. And I know that sometimes imagination is not a cool word in the church, because it is connected to a worldly thought process instead of a sanctified imagination that comes to us through Jesus Christ, who has paid for us to have an imagination to be able to see what he is telling us. When we can see it, we know we can manifest it. Michelle was talking about running. I used to be quite a runner, and then I quit because I was playing a lot of tennis. And I always used to say, well, my knees can't do both. But that is not really true. God has begun to say, he's like, what? Then who am I if you can't handle what you're passionate about? And it's so funny. I was running the other day, and I've got a little app, and it says, oh, you've run this far, and you ran a 13-minute mile. I was like, what? And, I used to run a little faster than that, but when I had previous run, I would run 15, 16-minute miles, and it was like and I hadn't run in a long time. It was like a 13-minute mile. I'm like, who are you, Lord? But I had been declaring that when I run, I would run not winded. that when I run, that my knees would operate in perfect order with the Lord, that my feet would not hurt. I mean, I just declare all kinds of stuff, and I could see myself running. And as I was starting to prepare this message, I actually was going to preach on inheritance. God's like, no, the inheritance is the foundation for everything I've given you the ability to do. And I know that when I had Hashimoto's and when I had that, I started declaring I'd be healed from it. And then I got a picture of it. And every time I would pray, I would envision what a whole thyroid would look like until I didn't have Hashimoto's anymore. So the power of our sanctified imagination in partnership with the Word of God is transformative for us. It gives us the ability to manifest what God has promised us. And I know that's a lot, but really your imagination gives you the ability to see what is unseen right now. And it gives you the ability to remember. Like, I can remember when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, I can remember reading the Word over it. I can remember looking it up. I can remember exactly what a whole thyroid looks like. Because God's given us the ability to imagine those things, to find those things, and then activate them into reality. Because when I read the Word that by His stripes I am healed, I declare that word, and then I began to imagine what isn't healed in me that needs to be healed because His word has said it is healed, then it helps me to activate and manifest what He's going to do. And, you know, we think it's just easy as ABC, 1, 2, 3. Sometimes it's hard because it's not like all of a sudden I got a picture of my thyroid and within a second I was healed. No, I contended and I declared and I would print it out and I would picture it and I would put my hand and I'd say this in my mind that I can see, I've seen a picture of it. I can put it in my throat and it can be healed. So it was, you know, there are times where healing's instant. There's times where you have to contend over it. You know, we did the same thing about paying off our house. We just started saying our house is paid off. We could see it paid off. We could, you know, and then within 4 years, we paid our house off. You know, I don't know how God did it, but He did it. I didn't win the lottery. I wasn't looking for, you know, I mean, sure, if you want to give me $549 million from the lottery, I'm not, but I didn't win the lottery. I just kept saying that, you know, actually my scripture out of that was Genesis 26, where Isaac sowed and reaped 100-fold. So I kept saying that. We kept sowing. We kept seeing our house paid off. You know, it's what our mind, what a man thinketh out of Proverbs, he becomes. So it's, we take the word. Our imagination is sanctified through the reading of the word because that renews our mind, which renews what we're able to imagine about the word of God, which activates a manifestation in order to get what God has given us within our inheritance. We already have it. It has already been provided for. And it doesn't mean that I didn't ever take medicine. It doesn't mean any of that. It just meant I kept contended until the work was complete. Yes. Yes. Over everything, over my finances, over my kids, over everything, over my city. You know, I just keep contending until, and I see what it looks like when Tarpon Springs is saved. I see the word that Gene gave about a move of God through Tarpon Springs that's going to change the heart toward Jesus. You know, I can see it because I've heard the word. I know the word says preach the gospel. I know that the word says, you know, that Jesus will draw them onto His heart. And I know that we've had a Rhema word that Tarpon Springs would be saved. So I can see that. And as long as I can see it, it will manifest, right? Whew, that's a lot. That was a lot. I need to take a breath. But it's very exciting. I mean, God is really, he's kicked up the excitement gear. Let's just say that. Let's look at Jeremiah 1:9. And then we're going to practice. We're going to take a few minutes and practice because I want us to practice and activate Jeremiah 1:9. I should know it by heart, but we're going to actually read it out of the Word. Okay, Jeremiah 1:9 says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" Now, we know when we read the Word comes into our mouth. It comes out of our mouth. It becomes part of our DNA. But we can read the Word all day long and not infuse it into our very being. Like, I can read the dictionary and read all the words from A to Z, and those words don't change me. I got to read the Word knowing that the Holy Spirit wants to use what I read to transform me so that I can live out of what I read and activate what is in me. Amen. So he put the Word in Jeremiah's mouth. And then verse 11, he goes on and says, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me and said, 'Jeremiah, what do you see?'" He's put the Word in his mouth and he says, "What do you see?" If the Word is in us, we are able to see what God has put in us, right? I love God. He is, you know, and this may be a revelation just for me, but I'm telling you, I'm like, "God, I know this." It's not like I don't know it, but what I felt like God saying is, "You got to live out of it 24/7, not just for your healing, not just for this, not for situational remedies, that when you read the Word, you have to live what you read and you have to activate it from your mouth. Like, I love to read the Word out loud. When you read it out loud, then you get a picture of what the Word is saying. And then you're able to move on the Word at any given time because it's become who you are and what you do. Jeremiah 15:16, I'm just going to read it. You don't have to look it up, but it says, "Your words were found and I ate them." We didn't just read them. I'm a speed reader, so I read really, really fast. But in order to eat them, you have to consume the Word that you're reading. "And your Word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." It transforms us. His Word transforms us. "For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." So we know that our faith comes from hearing, and it's hearing the Word of God, right? So when we hear the Word of God, it increases our faith. When we speak the Word of God, it activates our faith. There's something about hearing and verbalizing that prepares us to step in to what we've just spoken. We know that if we speak, "I'll never get ahead, I'll never get a raise, I'll never get a promotion," then our actions will follow what we're speaking. We know that when we speak is, "I declare I'm going to get a promotion, I declare a new job's going to come my way, I declare my kids are going to follow Jesus," or whatever it is, we know that when we align our words with what the Word says, then the rest of us follow what our Word says. We know that. We know that from the Word. So we have to have the faith with the action in order for the manifestation to occur. Because it says in James, faith without works is dead. We've got to have our faith. How do we get our faith? Faith comes from the Word. So when we get the Word, we have faith in what the Word says, and then we take action on what we have faith in, right? And that's just Bible 101. That's James 2, Bible 101. So the word is in us. When the word is in us, it renews our mind, right? Which sanctifies our emotions, our imagination. It sanctifies what we think. Have you ever seen something and immediately you're like, I'm not looking at that. That's not right. It's because you've already sanctified yourself against something that's against the word of God, because the word of God is in you. So when you see something that is not the word of God, you're like, oh no, I am closing my eyes. When I walk through that grocery store aisle, I'm not looking at the star or people or anything else on either side of the aisle, because it ain't right. Because what it does is it pulls me into gossip. It pulls me into whatever they're selling, whatever they're pushing at the moment, and keeps me away from whatever's pure and whatever's holy and whatever's righteous. That's what we're to think on. So when the word renews our mind, it sanctifies our imagination, our emotions, our ability to think like God thinks, which allows us to manifest what God has shown us. So there's wrong seeing and there's right seeing. We know when there's wrong seeing. Wrong seeing is watching stuff on TV that has pornography, it has all sex, it has all this other kind of stuff on. We know that that's wrong seeing. We know that it's wrong seeing to a wrong hearing to listen to gossip. We know that those things are wrong. And when we get those things in the mix, then what happens is what we're able to think gets mixture too. Right seeing is keeping our ears and our eyes aligned with what the Word of God says. So that when we see something that's not aligned with it, we don't have to worry, because our discernment is so crisp, we recognize it. So we're going to practice imagining, okay? I'm going to read you one other thing, and then we're going to go to Mark 2. So you can turn to Mark 2, but I want to just read this out of Ephesians, because I want you to know God talks about our imagination. I was surprised how much he talks about the imagination in the Word. He talks about vain imagination, but he talks about good imagination. So there's both in there. But Ephesians 3:20 says, and we probably know this by heart, but I just want to read it out of the Word as soon as I find it. Okay, Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him, this is Jesus, so it's unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, and in other versions it's imagine, right, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Okay. So God understands that he's given us the ability to consume the word and see what the word is we've just consumed. And I was reading this book called Imagination by Andrew Womack, and he was talking about how he practiced this. So I started practicing this way. Because he said the more he practiced, he would have opportunities presented to him that he had already practiced for. And I practiced it on myself, but I thought this was interesting. So I am asking God for opportunities for me and for you. As Gene says, I'm voluntolding you. Just raise your hand because you've already been volunteered. Okay, so this is what he did. He would read what Jesus did, and he would read it out loud. And he would see Jesus doing it. So we can ask the Holy Spirit, just help us have an image of Jesus doing that thing. Then he would see himself do the same thing. And he said it practiced in his spirit what God had prepared for him to do in the natural. It's interesting to think about, because I started doing this and I was like, wow, this is fun. It really is fun. But I picked two scriptures. We're going to do those two. And then I want to read something out of Mark, something else out of Mark. So Mark 2:29. Mark 1:29. That's right. I wrote it down wrong. I gave it wrong to Noah. Mark 1:29, it says, so Peter is at his mother-in-law's house. And it says, now I want you to get an image of Peter in a house. His mother-in-law's there. She's sick. It says, now as soon as they come out of the synagogue, they enter to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Okay, now let's just close your eyes. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. And they told Jesus about her at once. So just get an image of there's a woman laying sick, and Jesus is going to come to her. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she served them. So just get an image of that. Let your mind see Jesus going to the woman lying down. He didn't say anything. He just took her hand and lifted her up. And the fever left and she was healed. Now, I want you to put yourself in that place where someone's lying sick with a fever, and you're just going to do what Jesus did. Because remember, you have the full inheritance to be able to do that. And just see her standing up and being well. Did everybody get a picture of that? Okay, so you know that whenever there is a challenge before you, you find the word that takes care of that challenge. You read the word, you visualize the word over your challenge, and you see yourself having victory over the thing that was your obstacle. Whether it's sickness, whether it's finances, whether it's relational problems, whatever it is, you find the word and you speak it out loud. You see it activated in your imagination and watch it manifest as Jesus has given you the power to do. And I want to end on this scripture. And someone mentioned it today, I think it was maybe Joe, but it says Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Okay, so if there's a weapon that's been formed against you, the word says it will not prosper. So I don't have to worry about it prospering because I can see that the weapon formed can't prosper because the word of God says it can't. And that every tongue... How many people have had something said about them that wasn't pleasant? So every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. So that doesn't work either. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Because it is our right to be protected against what the enemy has planned to form against us. And their righteousness is from me. So when we have situations where we feel like the enemy's coming against us, even this scripture alone is one tiny inheritance that God has already given us, that whatever the enemy has formed against us, it's just not going to work. And I can see the enemy coming, but when I see that, I release this word and seeing the shield of the Lord come down, because that form against me will never work. It will never prosper because the Lord has said it won't. And if I can get this kind of understanding in my heart of reading the word out loud against what is happening, or even not what is happening, I just read the word out loud when I read it and then begin to see a picture of what the word says, it prepares us. It is our practice for when things come up, we already know what to do because we've practiced. When someone's sick, we know what to do. Jesus didn't say a word. He's stuck his hand out. We've already practiced these things, and it may seem silly, but you can do it by yourself where no one's looking. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to help you, because if we can practice ahead of time, it's like when I play tennis, I practice ahead of time. So when I go out and play, I've already practiced, so I know what to do. Is it perfect? No, but I know what to do. So we can start practicing the word, literally practicing in our imagination, practicing in our verbalization, practicing saying, you know, I bind you, because it's what it says, practicing and seeing the activation of it before it happens. Then when it happens, we're already on ready alert. It's already occurred before us. And I'm like, my spirit's ready. I've been practicing. I'm ready. I am doing it. Amen. Okay, so that's going to be it for today. Let's stand. I'm going to pray over us because I want to activate this in us. I want everybody to agree to go home and practice. Amen. You know that if you say it out loud, that means you got to do it, right? So I want everybody to agree that you're going to practice this, because you'll see the power come upon you. You'll see the readiness of the Lord be in you. And you, what will happen is there'll be the more you practice, the more you'll have opportunities to prosper. Deuteronomy 8:18, God has made us to create wealth. Well, I'm going to practice that. And I'm going to see that in my mind, that I've been made to create wealth, so that when I go, I am creating wealth, because that's what I've trained myself to do, to align with the word of God. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. So whatever is in bothering me, I'm just going to keep declaring it and seeing it and watching God manifest what I believe. If we don't believe, it's hard to manifest it. If we practice it and declare it, then it gets in our heart and we believe it, and it will be easier for us to manifest what our inheritance is that's been given to us. Amen. Okay, I'm going to stop. So Lord, we just thank you that you've prepared this for us. And this word is not just active and alive. It is something that we can release and practice, and it will prepare us for the kingdom territory that we are supposed to take, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to cleanse the lepers, Lord. That's what you've given us. Freely you have given this to us. So God, I just release that ability to hear and to see and to activate, to manifest the word that you've given us, Lord. And we just thank you. We thank you for lunch today. We just bless it and our time together. And we just love you, Lord. Amen and amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you are encouraged. If you would like more content like this, please visit cindy-stewart.com. We'll see you next time.